a victim mentality is probably about the worst mentality someone can be trapped in. So I think sometimes people don't realize what they're kind of trapped in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they get trapped in this little mirror. God actually helps us see from the outside, see truth, see the bigger picture.
I'll tell you what's toxic is living a life of grief, whether it be over someone, whether it be over your past mistakes, your childhood. Maybe it didn't go the way that it should have. Maybe people were terrible to you. Maybe you were abused. But you know what? There is a God who wants to open up a whole world of freedom. Hello, and welcome to the Purdue Podcast. This is Real Talk and Kingdom Walk, and this is episode 4, and we are so excited to be here with you. We're excited that you're taking your time to listen to this podcast and hear what we have to say. We know that it's going to bless you, so get ready for God to speak to you. It's going to be amazing, and if you haven't already subscribed to this channel, share this podcast with a friend. Go ahead and leave a comment. Let us know where you're watching from, where you're listening from, and let us know what's blessed you about this message today, and it's going to be a good one.
Definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah. Heather, she's awesome. I'm Pastor Aaron. We've been married 6.5 years now.
Yeah.
And do a lot together.
I know. I guess we should introduce ourselves every single time, right?
Every now and then.
Maybe that's a good idea. Okay, well, I'm Pastor Heather. I have been a part of this church and pastoring now. I think I got ordained in 2020. And we have just been kicking it for God lately. Yeah. We're youth pastors. I help with the women's ministry here. I'm associate women's pastor. But really, I'm just a woman. I'm just a wife. I'm just a mom.
Yeah.
Just like so many.
That's awesome. Well, I'm excited about kind of the meat of what we're sharing today. What do we call it?
We're talking about what is a victim mentality.
Oh, yeah. What is a victim mentality?
Yeah.
And I have three trademarks of that. And, just something I've kind of observed throughout the course of my life and 9 years of pastoring now is a victim mentality is probably about the worst mentality someone can be trapped in.
Yeah.
And, Jesus taught a lot in parables, just very simple, practical stories that explained really big things. But there's this parable of the talents that just has really spoken to me about not getting trapped in a victim mentality.
Yeah, and it's a trap.
It's a trap.
And I think it's important for people to know that, like you said, it's like one of the worst mentalities to have. So this message is going to be like, maybe you don't even know that you might be in that mentality. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is that there is a God.
Yeah.
Who can help you. We have the word of God, and you don't have to stay there. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be positive.
Yeah, and you can start taking steps forward from right where you're at.
Yeah.
And I have a background in classical music, and something one of my professors taught me this, I have a doctorate in flute, but my undergrad professor, she's a very prominent musician, played in the New York Philharmonic, taught at Juilliard, all around the world, but she said, really there's two things you have to do to improve. The first thing is to realize what the problem is, mm-hmm. Well, that there is a problem. And then the second step is to go about fixing it.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes people don't realize what they're kind of trapped in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they get trapped in this little mirror.
Yeah.
Self-reflective. They're not really seeing from the outside. You know, God actually helps us see from the outside, see truth, see the bigger picture. And
it reminds me of when I put an outfit on and I think I look really cute, but then somebody takes a picture of me and I'm like, that is not what I thought I looked like.
Yeah, and sometimes our mentality, you know, and it's your mentality is huge.
Yeah.
You know, it's who you are. It's your soul. Mm-hmm. It's your thoughts, your emotions, your desires, and
and they can change.
Yeah, and it's, you don't want to have a distorted mentality. And a victim mentality is very distorted, you know, and as I kind of thought about this victim mentality thing, there's a probably the most famous parable of Jesus is the parable of the sower, and he talks about this sower who sows this seed, which is the word of God, which is full of power. But it was sowed in four different types of soil, and only one of the soils produced the harvest that was supposed to. Mm-hmm. So the issue wasn't with like the word, the opportunity that God gives. The issue is with the heart.
Soil.
The soil, mm-hmm. which is your soul, your mentality, your heart. And in one of the accounts of the parable of the sower, Jesus said this line, and it's a very pointed line. And he also said it in the parable of the talents. So that's why I kind of relate the parable of the sower to the parable of the talents. So the line is this. He says, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." So that's actually like a very anti-communist type statement.
That doesn't sound very,
Doesn't sound fair. You know, we...
Yeah, fair.
The world and a lot of, you know, philosophies and a lot of movements are to, you know, kind of equalize things and take from those who have and give it to the have-nots.
Or to make you feel guilty that you have to give to every single person that's in need, too.
Yeah, and that statement's actually the exact opposite. Yeah. It's saying, you know, to everyone who has, more will be given and he will have abundance. That, and really it's talking about the what God gives us, the opportunities he gives us, mm-hmm. the word he gives us, the promise he gives us, Jesus, the revelation of who Jesus is. And when you value that, and when you value these gifts that come from God, these opportunities, these talents, these, when you value it and utilize it, it says more is going to be given to you. But if you reject it, mm-hmm. and a victim mentality would actually reject opportunity. And not only that, a victim mentality will be offended at opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I'll say something kind of direct and pointed. I remember I was, I just started my doctorate at Rice University, and God had kind of shown me how to make money on the side buying and selling high-end watches. And I actually, when I was doing that, getting my doctorate, I was a full-time student. I was teaching lessons on the weekend. I was teaching a undergrad music theory class, but I was making on the side $10,000 a month profit buying and selling watches. And I was at this Bible study with other grad students, and most of them didn't quite think the way I did about scripture and about God and about life.
Yeah.
And I remember this one student, she was getting her PhD in sociology. So sociology is like the study of groups of people and what affects groups of people. And as a whole, that field is pretty liberal. And because there are a lot of disparities if you look at different statistics and things. But that field, it might notice the statistics, but it doesn't really understand the underlying cause. Mm-hmm. So this student, she was getting her PhD in sociology. She was a believer, had gone to like a Christian undergrad. But she was telling me about someone, her parents were like inner city missionaries. And she was telling me about someone that her parents was ministering to, trying to help. And she just said, there's nothing this guy could do to get out of his trap, to get out of his, you know, because he had been in prison, because of the color of his skin, because just where he lived, all these factors, just statistically, there's no way mm-hmm. he could succeed and or he could get a job. He just, there's nothing he could do. And I didn't say this to be offensive. I just said, hey, I buy and sell stuff on eBay. And when you sell stuff online, I said, they don't know the color of your skin. They don't know your gender. They don't know your age. They don't know your criminal history. They don't, you know, they don't know any of these things.
Yeah.
Like I could literally be anybody doing what I'm doing. And I said, maybe he could try something like that. And she got really offended. And she said, you know, you're so privileged. That's why you can do this thing. Like,
and you were just trying to offer up some hope. Like.
Yeah. And, it just made me really sad, and I kind of realized, you know, like people push this victim mentality on people. Mm-hmm. And it is, again, going back to the different types of soil. Mm-hmm. To me, it's salty soil. So in salty soil, you can't grow anything.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to the Dead Sea in Israel. It's like three times more salty than the ocean, but there's like nothing growing around there. It's completely dry, completely arid. Like nothing grows in the water. There's no life, no fish, no algae, no nothing. Like, I don't even know if there's like bacteria in that water, because it's like, it's so dead. And a victim mentality, it just makes your heart, your soul, just, it doesn't matter what opportunity, what promise, what, if there is a, you know, some
type
of hope.
It blinds you.
Yeah,
to...
but also it makes you offended at
sometimes
people who are trying to help you. And you've probably observed that too, just different people. Maybe who you've tried to help.
There's
the churches
person,
try to help. And
I'll tell this story. Around the time, I feel like you actually preached this on a Wednesday night, and it's probably one of my favorite messages that you preach, because it's so relevant. Mm-hmm. But around this time, there was somebody that I met, and this person, just the cards were stacked against them. Mm-hmm. You know, they just encountered lots of things in their life that had happened to them, and they were what I like to call the enemy tries to maneuver on you, the pileup method, mm-hmm. where he just piles up as mm-hmm. much stuff as he possibly can on you to get you thinking that there's no hope or whatever. But anyway, I decided that this person was going to be my mission field mm-hmm. for a minute. And I reached out to this person. I like would text them. I would invite them to things. I got a group of people together to also help this person. But it was like the more that I tried to help, the more madder they got. Mm-hmm. And I just was trying to help and love on them. And I would not preach at this person mm-hmm. at all. I made sure to be extremely careful about like things that I would say to this person. But eventually they just ghosted me completely mm-hmm. and just moved on. And it was amazing. And I feel like there's some people out there that you're going to be watching this, and this has happened to you, and you have been in my position where you've tried to reach out to people and help them, and they just eventually shut down and ghost you. So this is going to be encouragement to you that there are some people that you just have to pray for.
Yeah.
There's some people that you just have to give over to the Holy Spirit and to God and just pray for them and intercede for them and just love them from afar and know that it's not you. So don't get offended at the people that are offended.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's almost like, again, like being in a room with mirrors on all sides, like someone who's kind of trapped in that mentality, it becomes your identity.
Yeah.
And it's a trap, you know? Like, I remember recently, our son Fisher is 11, but he likes taking pictures, and we were somewhere and there was like two mirrors opposite, and he thought it was really cool to see the constant
infinity
reflection. Yeah, so he's trying to take a picture of that. But that's kind of this trap that people can get in. And you know, and you have to be aware of yourself too, you know, like if I'm kind of going down.
You got to be open to letting the Lord speak to you.
Yeah. And and God, you know, God speaks to me all the time too. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you need to.
Oh, me too. I'm probably like the opposite end of the spectrum where I need to calm down and not condemn myself so much, you know? Yeah.
But, and this is a huge tip for people trying to achieve something in life, trying to be successful. But the same professor that kind of taught me the two things you have to do to improve is, number one, realize there's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to hear it yourself. Uh-huh. You know, you guys have probably seen like people on like American Idol who come in and sing and they're just terrible, but they don't realize they're terrible.
Yeah. And even when people
like
tell
Simon
them
Cowell
they're terrible,
just destroy them.
I know, and they still don't believe it either.
Yeah. Like they're just in this mirror room. But realizing there's a problem, and then also just knowing
how to fix it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about how to get out of some of these,
I think that'd be good.
Things too, just to empower you, or, you know, maybe there's people close to you and you don't want to
preach this
bash people like you got a victim mentality, nothing good's gonna, you know.
Yeah.
But this same professor, she taught me this phrase, and I love it. She said that success happens when preparation meets opportunity.
Mm, that's good.
So opportunity will present itself at some point.
Oh yeah.
But you need to keep working and keep preparing and keep, you know, being pot. But success happens when preparation meets opportunity, and God gives opportunity, some type of opportunity, to everyone. It's different from person to person too. Mm-hmm. So one thing I know you like to mention too, when I kind of share on this, is not getting trapped in the comparison.
Yeah.
Thing like, well, his opportunities are different, or, you know, he's more talented, or mm-hmm. you know, he comes from a better town, or this or that, you know, like that comparison thing. You want to stay out of that. And in this parable, there's three servants, and they all get different opportunities.
Yeah.
And so you want to avoid that trap of comparison as well. And so I'll just read a little bit of this. I won't read it all verse by verse, but it's found in Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like this. I love it when Jesus starts a parable off like that. For the kingdom of heaven is like this. So he's about ready to drop like a major truth bomb mm-hmm. on what, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like. And as believers, you're part of that kingdom. Mm-hmm. You know, there's two realms. There's a natural realm and there's a spiritual realm, and both are real. Mm-hmm. You know, some people try to deny one or the other, but they're both real.
Yeah. If you had to explain what the kingdom of heaven is, mm-hmm. how would you explain that? Like the spirit realm?
Well, in scripture it says it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, it's not rules and regulations and you got to do this and that to get to God.
Yeah.
It's righteousness, which means right standing before God.
Yeah.
And the only way you can be right standing before God is as a gift.
Right.
The Bible says it's a gift of righteousness, which comes through faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that's really awesome that the kingdom of heaven, it's not like against anyone. It's open to whoever believes on Jesus.
Yeah.
You know,
but I mean, like, what I know it's not like against anyone, but it's not like a physical kingdom. Like, that's what I'm trying to get at. Like, if you're going to explain it, it's like
but
a spiritual kingdom.
It does impact the physical world.
It does,
big
yeah.
time.
So it's like the spiritual.
Yeah. And there's a kingdom of darkness as well.
There is, yeah.
And it impacts this natural world too.
Yes.
You know, I was kind of thinking about that. Recently here at a Sunday service, my dad, Pastor Lawson, was preaching from 1 John, and he was talking about that there's a spirit of truth and a spirit of error.
Yeah.
And I was looking at one of my diplomas, my doctoral diploma from Rice University, and it has the mission statement on there, and it says the mission is to enable people to pursue truth, beauty, and righteousness. Mm. And I was thinking about that, and Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, wants to push people towards truth.
Yeah, toward that direction.
Yeah, the Spirit of truth, uh-huh. towards beauty, towards righteousness, towards life, towards victory. Mm-hmm. But the kingdom of darkness, the spirit of Antichrist, mm-hmm. Tries to push people towards the spirit of error.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we see in society, that
yeah, we talked about that a little bit last week.
Like, like there's no male or female, you can choose it. Yeah,
and,
like being pushed, but it's like a gravity.
Yeah,
that sucks people's mentality and their life.
There's also
their very being in that direction. So that spirit of darkness will you don't have the spirit of truth in you.
Right.
If you're seeking truth, you're gonna find Jesus.
Yeah.
And wherever, like in society and countries, wherever like the Bible has flourished, wherever Christianity has flourished, things go in the right direction towards truth.
Yeah.
So Jesus pushes us towards truth, mm-hmm. whereas the spirit of darkness gravitates people towards the spirit of error.
Yes.
You know, truth, beauty. Jesus pushes people towards beauty.
Yeah.
And order.
Yeah.
Whereas the spirit of darkness pushes people towards chaos and confusion. Mm-hmm. And even like you see that played out in like the political sphere where like people, like there's entire cities that don't want help getting rid of crime.
Yeah. Also,
you know, like, hey, it's okay that there's 12 murders every weekend. Like, we don't want any extra help. You know?
That's wild.
Like, they actually are fine with chaos and.
Yeah. Well, because there's also a spirit of power and a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
Which also ties into the darkness that you were talking
and
about.
Righteousness, you know, the spirit of Jesus. You know, if you have the spirit of Jesus in you, it's going to push you towards righteousness, which means also like right living.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the spirit of darkness will, you'll kind of gravitate towards.
Yeah.
There is no morality. There is no right or wrong. There
just
is no
chaos
truth.
And debauchery. Yeah.
And you know, Jesus, he pushes us towards life.
Mm-hmm.
You look at everyone he came into contact with who believed on him. They
and purpose,
healing and freedom and life. Whereas that spirit of darkness, it gravitates towards death.
Yeah.
And, but also, like, kind of going along with what we're talking about today, the spirit of Jesus, that kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light, pushes you towards victory.
Yes.
Whereas the other spirit pushes people, wants to trap people in defeat and defeatist identities and mindsets and traps. And it's like a gravitational force.
Yeah.
So the spiritual realm is very real.
Yeah.
And it very much impacts this world we live in.
Yep.
Yeah. It impacts individuals.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts churches. It impacts cities. It impacts nations. It impacts, you know, political ideologies. It impacts families.
Mm-hmm.
So the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. That was good. That was a good
I've been kind of
trail.
Yeah, meditating and mulling that over. I was just thinking about even at Rice. You know, it's a great university. I'm glad
it
went there. And but there's elements like, is it really truth? Is it really beauty? Is it really righteous?
It's strayed just maybe a hair. But.
Yeah, because I think it's awesome having a mission statement and just saying, hey, does this flow with that? You know.
Yeah.
And
that's why we have the word. Ultimately, the word is our mission statement for life.
Yeah.
And is our life corresponding and lining up with what the word says.
Yeah.
And mentalities have a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people aren't just born with a chemical imbalance in their brain, which causes them to live as a victim or depressed or anxious or any of those things you mentioned about darkness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mindset, and science has even proven that you can change your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You can change your mindset.
It's malleable.
Yes, because it's all determined about what you want to think on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can direct your thoughts, and you do, especially as a believer, have control over your thoughts.
Yeah.
Amen.
So this kingdom of heaven.
Okay.
It's like a man traveling to a far country.
Yeah.
Who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. This is really cool. He gave one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. It says, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. So right away you can say, well, it's not fair. One guy got 5, one guy got 2, one guy got 1.
Yeah, I used to think that, actually, until I understood.
And again, you want to avoid the comparison trap.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I think my parents did really good raising me and my brothers is realizing we're all different people and we had different giftings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a gifting in music, so they invested in that. They got me lessons. They drove me, you know, I you know, and my brothers were athletic.
Mm-hmm.
So they got them into, you know, clubs to play sports and to grow that way. And, you know, we all have different, you know, careers. Like my youngest brother, he's the COO of Burger King. So he's, you know, very high position, like number 2 over Burger King. You know, and he had to start somewhere too. He actually went to Princeton and, you know, out of school, got a job right away with them at 22. But he started out at like $50,000 a year. It wasn't, you know, it was a corporate managing training thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to start off there and use that opportunity to grow.
Yeah.
You know, so he got into the finance and kind of corporate side of things. My middle brother, Andrew, he's probably has the greatest intellect of the three of us in terms of like math and science and just completely brilliant. When he was in college, he took this organic chemistry test that's given to hundreds of universities, and he scored in the top 1 percentile on it. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, and he's in the oil and gas industry, and you know, very, very, like I think he's a
very successful
director of operations or something for a major company now. And you know, I was musical, and I blow hot air through a pipe. And but I do it pretty well, and you know, I now pastor, and so you just got to be thankful for the opportunities that God gives you.
Well, and know that, like, to God, no one person's life is more valuable than the other. No one person's purpose is more valuable than another.
Even this so past Sunday, we got to teach the junior high class Sunday morning.
That
at church,
was awesome.
And yeah, there were 19 kids in there, and I just love doing
junior
that.
High
and
kids, yeah,
and you know, we have a lot. We have like incredible volunteers and people who help teach, you know, and with kids and youth. And but we have some we've tried to give opportunity to, and they
don't use it.
Yeah, they just bury it. And like I was really thankful just looking at those
students.
Loved it. Yeah, you know, and it's not an easy thing, but it was fun. And so look at what God's given you. So. And it says he went on a journey, and this is kind of interesting too. A talent, I looked this up, but a talent was 20 years labor.
Oh my gosh.
So if you labored, worked, did like a labor type job for 20 years, if you made, $50,000 a year, that would be $1 million. So essentially he gave $5 million to one guy, $2 million to another, and then 1 million. So like if someone gave me $1 million and said, hey, work with this, invest it.
They're like, all right.
Yeah, like a million. Not many people are given $1 million.
This person was generous.
You shouldn't feel bad for the $1 million guy.
Yeah.
So it says the guy who got the five talents, the $5 million, it said he went, traded, you know, put it to use, and he doubled it. Mm-hmm. He made another five. And it said the one who got two, he worked with it, traded, invested, whatever, doubled it. But it says the guy who got the one dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And it said after a long time, the Lord showed up. The master showed up, and it says he settled accounts with them. So there is a God.
Yeah.
And the Bible says it is appointed for each man to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then the judgment. So every single person who is alive on the face of the earth today, everyone who's watching this, unless Jesus comes and raptures his church and you're caught up with him, everyone is appointed to die.
Yeah.
It's an equal playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has an opportunity to seek truth, to seek Jesus, to receive him. And, you know, God is going to settle accounts.
Yeah.
And, The guy who got five said, you know, hey, look, I gained five more. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Like two important words.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
And faithful. And sometimes something that like in church circles, we really emphasize faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want faithful people who show up and have a willingness and yeah, faithfulness is great, but you also need someone who's good at what they do.
So this is where, what does it say? This is where, what's that quote your teacher said? Success, no, preparation meets opportunity.
Success.
So
is
when, preparation is good.
Yeah.
Opportunity is the faithful part.
Yeah.
To me, that's what I think of. Like, if
and preparation is kind of your quality, Yeah, what are you doing?
Develop your skill.
Development.
Yes, develop your skill.
A lot of people
that is part
want
of being
the destination.
The good.
I want. Mm-hmm. I want to be the leader. I want to be in charge.
They
I want
to
the
do
microphone.
That.
I want.
They
the want
to do that first before they have developed anything.
Yeah.
Including their own character.
Yeah, and
and it's for their own good that God doesn't give them that opportunity before their character.
Yeah,
develops.
And you look through Scripture. There's a lot of developing going on.
Oh yeah,
of people, you know, and God loves people and gives them great opportunities and does awesome things with complete losers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's often a development stage.
Yeah.
That like a humility. Mm-hmm. You know, God gives grace to the humble. His grace is talking about his power, his favor, his gifting, but resist the proud. Mm-hmm. And
but there's joy in the preparing part. Mm-hmm. Like I've had tons of fun, tons of joy, like plenty of like God moments where God speaks to me, and so much fulfillment just in the preparation part. Mm-hmm. Just in, and I'm still preparing.
Yeah.
Like I haven't stopped. Yeah. I'm still preparing. I'm still developing my skill. I'm still not perfect at it. But yeah. I feel like people don't really understand that there is a lot of joy in that. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like, oh, I'm just working until I can get good at this so I can make it one day. You know, like it's not like
that. Well, sometimes people, you know, make this kind of excuse like it doesn't need to be good. You know, it's just my heart is for God, you know.
Yeah. Which that's great. I mean, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even I heard someone say, you know, with he or she's a worship team and he's like, I let this woman on the team. She can't sing, but, you know, you can just tell she's really worshiping. And that... You, I don't know.
I mean, it kind of depends, but
like,
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, it needs to be good, you know. And with worship, my kind of and things don't have to be perfect either.
We're not calling for perfection by no means.
But you should want to do good, like you know, and sound good, and also like you don't want something to be so bad,
but also
or weird that it distracts from Jesus.
Yeah, but also what's sad about that is when somebody tries to get in a lane that's not theirs, mm-hmm. that they're not gifted for, but their heart's right.
Yeah,
is that there is a lane that's prepared just for them.
Yeah,
that God needs them to be in, that there's fulfillment in, mm-hmm. that they're missing. They're missing out on. And the world is missing out on it, too.
Yeah, and something, you know, as, like, ministry leaders, as pastors, as apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, it's you know, the Bible says in Ephesians that you know, these fivefold ministry gifts, mm-hmm. they are to equip the body, saints.
For the work of the ministry.
For the work.
Yeah.
Of the ministry. So work means, like, developing. It means doing something with quality. It uh-huh. means, you know... good and faithful.
Right.
You know, and you want things that work. Mm-hmm. You know, faith and faithfulness is very valuable. Mm-hmm. But just because something is valuable doesn't mean it's useful.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mentioned that I've bought and sold high-end watches, you know, so I want to buy something that's valuable, but it has to work.
Yeah.
It has to tick and tell time or else mm-hmm. it's not useful.
Yeah.
So I want something that's valuable and that I can sell for more, you know, but if it doesn't work, then people are they're not going to want it.
And as someone who owns a watch, you want it to work. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's how God feels a lot. Like, he wants us to become good at what he's called us to do because he wants to use us.
Well, and part of, you know, we're talking about opportunity.
Yeah.
About
he wants
about
to give
these
you.
Talents.
Yeah.
It's where is there a need? Mm-hmm. And if you feel that need, you're being useful.
Yep.
You're finding opportunity. You mm-hmm. know, sometimes, you know, if someone said, well, I want to preach Sunday mornings like that. Well, that we don't have a need for that. You know, Pastor Lawson does that. And we probably have another 20 people lined up who
would want to do that.
Yeah. Know what they're doing. And
that have been. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, hey, where can I be useful?
Yeah.
You know, where do you need help? Mm-hmm. And do I have the skills to help out in that area? Mm-hmm. And that's a good mindset to have. And that's usually a mindset that's going to lead to promotion and to greater success as well. Mm-hmm. So good and faithful. That's, you know, valuable, but also useful. Mm-hmm. So well done, good and faithful servant. He said, you were faithful over a few things and I will make you. And to me, $5 million isn't like a little, you were faithful, but this is a kingdom of heaven reality. Mm-hmm. If you're faithful over the little, if you're faithful over a few things, if you care about those things, he says, I'll give you more. You know, I'll make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So real joy and fulfillment comes from being good and faithful, you know, being useful, good at what you're supposed to do, utilizing your skills mm-hmm. and being faithful too.
Mm-hmm.
You're not being a flake. You know, the same thing happened. Hey, I gained two more also. Good and faithful servant, entering the joy of your Lord. Now, this is where we're going to talk about what constitutes a victim mentality. The three trademarks of a victim mentality. So we've made you wait this long. We've held you on the edge of your seat. What are the three?
What is a victim mentality?
What is a victim mentality?
How to spot it?
So you see it here in Matthew 25, verse 24. This servant who'd got the one talent. He came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. So here, God kind of showed me three things he said that just really reveal a heart that constitutes what is a victim mentality. So the first one is blaming others.
Yeah.
I knew you to be a hard man. And really, you know, the master here is God. So some people have a wrong picture of God. Like, God, you're hard-hearted, you're mean, you're the mm-hmm. one who gives, and you're the one who takes.
Oh my gosh.
You take. And that's not who God is, just a giver.
Yep.
He only gives. He gives and he gives and he gives.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, like, one of the two Bible verses they know is like John 3:16 and then Job. You give and take away.
Oh my gosh.
Blessed be your name. And they don't know anything.
Yeah.
And then they gravitate more towards the Job side of things and the John 3:16 side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you. It's your fault. You're a hard-hearted man. And that's actually a very crippling mentality.
Yeah.
To think that you can't do anything to impact the direction of your life.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do. You're completely crippled to succeed. Your entire lot in life is just dictated by everyone around you.
Yeah.
It's dictated by how you're raised. It's dictated by your family, your parents, your spouse,
the
your
government.
Kids, the government, the mayor, my neighborhood. It's just
the weather.
Just everything. My entire life is just, you know, I'm just a little ant, and just everyone's out with the magnifying glass trying to just zap me. But there's actually such great power, and you realize, hey, I can do something.
Yeah.
You know, I can grab the reins of this horse and take it in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually truth.
Yep.
And it's freeing.
Yes, it is.
But the opposite, and again, that kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the thief,
mm-hmm.
it pushes people in the opposite direction where, you know, you are a victim, you don't have power, you know, just dig a hole.
Yeah.
So blaming others. And, you know, maybe you've caught yourself kind of blaming a lot of other people for things, you know, like, well, I'm just having a bad day because,
mm-hmm.
you know, someone said something mean to me, or I'm just having a bad day because someone was out to get me. And it, you know, and I've been there before too. Like, people have attacked me, try to stab me in the back, and I could be like, well, poor me. I'm just going to give up. And that's not the voice of God.
Yeah.
That's the voice of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get you in that.
Well, ultimately trying to get you to give up.
Yeah.
Throw in the towel, quit.
Yeah.
Just kill yourself. I mean, whatever.
That's like, he'll push people as far as he lets them.
Oh, yeah.
And he won't stop.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about this, too, yeah.
The devil will completely, like, there is
destroy
no stop.
Destroy your life,
If you allow him to suck your brains out and to keep sucking more and more and more of your brains out, he will not
quit.
Stop.
If you, yeah, you gotta rise up at some point and realize that, like,
you have to push back.
Yeah, you do have to push back.
Yeah, how to overcome that? How do you overcome that? Being thankful.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Hey, God, thank you that maybe this one person hates me, but there's 99 people who still love me.
Yeah.
Who are there for me, who care about me, who...
I love talking about being thankful. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite messages I ever preached, I never, ever, ever listened to myself because I don't like that. It's so cringe. But I did go back and listen to this one message I preached called Abounding in Thanksgiving just recently. Mm-hmm. And it really blessed me because it was talking about being thankful. And every time you are thankful, I mean, so you can even do a quick Google search. Mm-hmm. Like studies have shown scientifically that being thankful does something in your brain that actually helps you a lot.
It affects your hormones.
It affects your hormones. It affects all different types of things. But one of my favorite Bible stories about praising God and being thankful is when Paul was in the prison. Mm. And I just love it. I love that at midnight, they praised God, because to me, that showed me that it took a minute for them to get their mind right, you know?
And sometimes it does too.
Yeah, you're going to have, the enemy's a deceiver, so he wants you to start digging that hole, mm-hmm. you know, burying your talents. Mm-hmm. But then the Holy Spirit is always going to come in and remind you, mm-hmm. hey, you know, he's going to start poking you a little bit. Hey, don't you think you could be positive? Don't you think you could be thankful? Don't you think you could look at all the blessings that God's given you?
Mm-hmm. And with being thankful, it's important to actually speak it out.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yourself.
Don't just think it.
Yeah.
But speak it out.
Like, yeah.
Like pray and thank God with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's also something powerful about speaking. Like it connects to your brain.
Yeah.
You know.
Your ears have to hear what your mouth is
saying.
Yeah,
your ears and your mouth.
Yeah.
It lights up a lot more of your brain,
mm-hmm.
which is connected to your soul.
Yeah.
Your brain is a physical organ, but it's connected to your soul, to your thinking. Emotions.
Well, I love that when Paul, I know this isn't in the notes, but like I love when Paul, when they started praising God, that their chains fell off and then it freed everyone else too.
I know, it just wasn't theirs.
It wasn't
like
just
thankfulness,
them.
And they were singing. Mm-hmm. So they were being thankful.
Yep.
They were also being thankful in unison. Just Paul and Silas, when two or three are gathered together in my name.
Mm-hmm.
So they're being thankful. They're being thankful together.
Yep.
And then they're adding melody to it.
Yeah.
They probably couldn't clap their hands or stomp their feet with all the chains on, but
just for a short period of time because they eventually fell off. But, but the enemy tries to get you to think that your life is just about you
mm-hmm.
and your life doesn't matter to anybody else. And every one person's life affects someone else's life.
And then from that,
yeah,
these other people are freed. They experience God's power, but also the jailer
uh-huh.
and his whole family got saved.
Yeah,
and not only that, you know, this jailer, I believe, is in Philippi. You know, and years later, Paul wrote a letter to the church there in Philippi. So I'm thinking this jailer and his family got that letter.
That's really cool to think about.
And it's one of the greatest letters on joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know what? You know, think on these things. Whatever's you know, true and honest and pure and of a good report. Think on these.
Yeah,
things.
If that doesn't encourage you, I'm sorry. Yeah. God help you.
But that
it's encouraging me.
It shifted the entire environment. Even uh-huh. people who were in that environment got freed.
Mm-hmm.
So, how to get out of a blaming other mentality? Take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But be thankful and voice it, you know?
Something that's on repeat in my life, it seems like I will be tempted to get in a bad mood, and I don't even say amen because I already know you live with me. But, like, I'll be in a bad mood because something just so little, like, mm-hmm. just so little didn't go my way.
Yeah.
And that's so the work of the enemy mm-hmm. every single time. And that's how I come out of it is, like, I go through a cycle, actually. Something makes me mad, then I get in a bad mood, and then I feel condemned because I got in a bad mood over something that didn't matter, and then God has to pull me out of that. And it's always what does it for me is I always just go back to just being thankful.
Yeah.
Just be thankful that I'm alive.
That
be
pulls
thankful.
You out of that mirror.
Yes.
Mirror to mirror.
Does that ever infinity. Happen to you? Do you go through like that?
Yeah. And that's
like
how
that spiral cycle
yeah,
of
it's
like
it's like that infinite mirror thing.
Yes, it's terrible.
Yeah. So
blaming
those
others.
What is a victim mentality? Just and it's
God,
like a constant blaming others.
Yeah.
Blaming
God,
God,
blaming others. Yeah.
And then he says, right after it, you reap where you've not sown.
What does that mean?
Well, actually, sowing and reaping is a spiritual law.
Yeah.
So there's a spiritual realm, there's a natural realm, just like there's laws in the natural, like there's a law of gravity. You know, there's like Newton's law of motion. Objects in motion tend to stay in motion. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a spiritual laws mm-hmm. of sowing and reaping. And everyone knows these laws. Like, everyone knows that gravity is real.
Yeah.
You know, we have a four-year-old. She knows that gravity is real. Like, when she was a baby, she'd drop things off, mm-hmm. you know, drop her food. She'd like, oh, look at gravity.
Oh, yeah.
But even as a four-year-old, she knows sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
You know, we were on vacation a few weeks back, and I like, we're in the pool, and she's having a bad day, and I just
she was in such a bad
picked her
mood.
Up, and I threw her, you know, there in the water. But she went under the water, and she came up screaming. And when she got out, she said, she
it
looked
was
at me
so
and said,
funny.
Papa's gonna spank you. Like, she knew.
No,
like,
she was looking over her shoulder too. She was like, Papa's gonna spank.
But she's like, she's saying yeah. you sowed some bad seed.
Uh huh. Watch out.
Watch
He's
out.
Gonna come
You're
for
gonna
you.
Get some bad harvest. So like it's innate in us. We know mm-hmm. we know like the natural laws innately, and we also yeah. know spiritual laws innately. Even non-believers have a sense of this too.
Oh yeah.
Even Paul talks about it in Romans, like how people didn't even have the law, but just by nature they knew they mm-hmm. you know would gravitate towards knowing what's right and wrong.
It's yeah. Just,
these spiritual laws are innate. So he's saying, you know, you reap where you've not sown, you gather where you've not scattered seed. To me, that's pessimism to the max.
Oh.
Just constant pessimism. And that's a very dangerous thing, too. You know, I like to listen to different, you know, commentators and podcasts and political things, but even some people who I might be aligned with, I'll stop listening to them because they're so pessimistic.
Oh.
I might get a lot of great information from them and enjoy
like what they have to say, but at the end of the day they're
like it's just so pessimistic.
Like a negative.
It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
So watch out for that. You know, like sometimes even and we try to be optimistic too.
Yeah.
So I say but we're trying to share truth as well.
I know you tell me to be positive all the time. Be positive.
But pessimism, just constant pessimism. And growing up, one of my heroes, like I had a
poster
of him in my on my closet door, and it's a Winston Churchill. But I read all these Winston Churchill biographies, watched all these documentaries. But something he said a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. But an optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. That's kind of like goes back to what we were talking about before, how like people with a victim mentality, they'll be mad if you present an opportunity to them or
you're
trying to help them.
Oh, yeah, because they don't want that.
You know, so like that pessimism, like even if there's an opportunity, they're going to just see difficulty.
Yeah.
But an optimist, it might be a very difficult situation, but they'll see the opportunity that's there.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, maybe this isn't where I want it to be, but there's a lot of opportunity.
You know what? If you talk too much about that now in 2025, it's called toxic positivity.
Mm.
Did you know that? Have you heard of that?
I think you mentioned that to me once before.
I think it's because like I get hit with all of the like all of
trending.
The parenting, like all this, all the things. But yeah. It's toxic positivity because that's how far our society has spiraled into the dark side of things.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
so
sorry,
like,
but
Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, sorry, it's toxic.
Yeah.
He's too positive.
It's toxic because people can't, you know, it's fallen so far into a victim mentality. That's wild.
So what is a victim mentality? Blaming others, pessimism, and lastly, fear.
Oh, fear.
Just fear. You know, I was afraid.
Yeah.
And fear is a huge motivating factor. You know, people make decisions, major life decisions, life-altering decisions, family.
Have you ever made a decision based on fear and then recognize it later?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Can you think of like one right now?
Yeah. And there's different degrees of it, but like one instance is like they say, never go grocery shopping when you're hungry. Like if you're starving, don't go, because you're like, oh my God, if I don't
I'll just have
get
everything.
All this food, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
You know, but that also correlates to like dating to like the single people out there. If you're like, oh my God, I'm going to be single forever. I better just
date whoever.
Get whatever I can get while I can get it. And like that's a fear-based.
Yeah. Or like I'm not getting any younger.
Yeah.
Like I'm just going to have to date or marry whoever, you know.
Yeah.
This is the best that's ever I'm ever going to get. And
yeah,
it's not true.
Yeah, the fear thing. But that, and again, like when you're making a big decision, it might be like in a potential spouse or a job, or hey, I'm going to study this, or I'm going to move this place, or I'm going to put my kids in this school or homeschool. Like you need to check your heart, your soul, and you know what's
motivating
me. Is it fear or is it faith? You know, faith works by love.
Yeah.
And anything that's not of faith is sin.
Yeah.
You know, so fear is the driving factor. Like, get out of that infinite mirror.
And some people might be thinking, well, how do I recognize, like, if I'm making a decision based on fear or faith? Well, I'll tell you how. One, you're going to feel very scared. And then the other one, if you're not motivated by fear, you're going to feel very, like, confident making a decision. You're going to know that, you know. But sometimes a decision that you make is a step of faith, and that can be like a little, like, I don't know. Like, you could have some reservations about it, but that's different than actually being in fear.
Faith is like one step at a time.
Yeah.
So the more steps you take, you're like, you know what, this is the right way. This is, this is faith. This is, I can tell there's peace here, God's direction here.
Yeah. So like when I moved here, it was a little scary for me because I was moving here 17 hours away from everyone that I knew with a toddler, and I was not a stay-at-home mom before. So now I'm like, I have my child with me 100% of the time with no help, no grandparents. I wasn't, like, it wasn't a fearful decision. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like people.
You could sense.
Yeah.
The faith.
Yes.
Aspect of
like
it.
People say, was it hard for you to move here? And I would tell people it would have taken, it would have been hard for me to stay because I just knew that I knew that I needed to make that step.
Yeah. And I was actually excited to share on this topic today and kind of talk about it with you because I know one of the driving factors for you moving here was your son, our son, Fisher.
Yeah.
Who had lost his dad at age 3, which is again, like we're talking about not being a victim, and we're not saying bad things don't happen to people.
No, 100% they do. Yeah.
And but not letting that define you and trap you and hold, you know,
not letting it get inside you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but you told me that one of the main reasons why you wanted to move here and just have a new chapter was for Fisher.
Yeah.
Like you didn't want him to. To have a...
I didn't want that to be his identity.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, living in a small town where everybody knows you and everybody knew your dad and they, you know, miss him, they can sometimes, I don't know, try to put you in that, not even on purpose, but just, I wanted, like, a fresh start for him.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, like, excuse me. I'm not saying that like I wanted him to forget any of that because we talk about him, we show him pictures and all that, but I didn't want that to define him.
Yeah.
Because it was such a tragic thing that I did not want that to get inside him.
Yeah. And
you know, he already was dealing with it when we moved here, remember?
Well, because he was 4 when you moved here and then 5 when we got married. And kind of at the age of 5, he's kind of at the maturity level to realize. Yeah, to actually mourn. You know, as a 3-year-old, you don't really mourn.
No, he didn't really understand.
And whenever someone loses someone close to them, there is a mourning process. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you've lost someone, I'm not saying stop crying, stop.
No,
you know, because there is a healthy grieving mourning phase, but you don't stay there forever.
Yeah, I love that. You talked about this at one point. You talked about, like, in the Jewish law, there was, like, a time period set for mourning.
There's appointed times for mourning.
Yeah, there's an appointed time. So God, I feel like he's with us. His heart breaks when ours break. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows, he's into very much in tune with how we feel.
You want to dance and mourn with those who mourn. And
but there's a difference between mourning and letting that spirit of grief attach itself to you.
And because you can tell that it, does. Is it pulling you towards
life?
To pessimism blaming others and fear.
Or is it,
like no purpose, just, no opportunity.
Yeah, every time somebody near to me passes away, it's sad, but it also like lights something on the inside of me. Like it reminds me, I think, that this is one life that I have and I'm not going to let it pass me by. I'm not going to waste it. I'm not going to waste it being pessimist. I'm not going to waste it being sad, being grieving. Yeah, I'm going to think about things that aren't just beautiful all the time, but I'm not going to live there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to spend my life being unthankful.
You're not going to go into that infinite
mirror. I'm not going to. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's toxic, like I mentioned before.
Yeah.
Now, it's toxic. But I'll tell you what's toxic is living a life of grief, whether it be over someone, whether it be over your past mistakes, whether it be over your childhood. Maybe it didn't go the way that it should have. Maybe people were terrible to you. Maybe you were abused. But you know what? There is a God. Mm-hmm. Who wants to open up a whole world of freedom to people out there. And I think that's so important.
Yeah. And Jesus ministered and impacted so many people who are hurt and broken by all types of things.
And situations,
Yeah. And he made everything better.
He did every single time.
Here at our church, we have a...
Yeah.
Just in big, bold letters, Jesus
changes everything. And boy,
he really does make everything better.
Yes.
I think we can kind of wrap up around here. I feel like that's pretty good. But I hope this really kind of impacted you and gave you some food for thought. And but you know, the neat thing about this podcast, and it's very unique about what we do, is we're connected to a larger church and ministry that, you know, impacts the area we're in here in Colorado Springs, but also we have a huge reach through television and our website and YouTube and things to the entire world. So if you want to connect more, you can go to our website, CarisChristianCenter.com. You can, subscribe to us on YouTube and see, you know, more church services. But it's really awesome. You know, we have a really pretty big blueprint and impact. And even with this podcast we're doing, I think we're going to reach more and more people. And
I'm excited about it.
Different ages of people, different types of people. But if you know, and if this is really helping you, you're welcome to tap into that law of sowing and reaping. And so, you know, I want to sow into this. I want to give towards helping, you know, what they do with that ministry, with this podcast. So you can do that through our website. You can give us a call. We also have a prayer line for people who just need help and prayer and ministered to. Mm-hmm. And
I feel like there's going to be people that listen to this that you're recognizing a little bit of these things like in yourself. And I just want to offer you some hope and tell you that, you know, there are people out there that do care about you. Pastor Aaron and I care about you. We care about you getting prayer. We care about, you know, your needs, and whether that be, you know, emotional needs or whatever. So reach out to us, comment, or you can message us or email, or you can call the church, call the prayer line, like Pastor Aaron said. You know, we are doing this because we love the body of Christ. Really, we do. And there have been a few of these keys in this message that I've recognize the enemy trying to pull over on me a time or two.
Yeah.
More than two, probably.
Yeah, and if you feel like you've kind of been stuck and maybe in a little bit of a trap.
Yeah.
And, hey, I need to get out of this.
Praise God for the word. He's a light to our path.
And I think one thing the enemy does too, he tries to make you feel isolated.
Yeah, like you're the only one that's ever been through this. Like,
yeah, and we're doing this because we just care about people, want to help people.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, we care about you. And I believe that God will even bring someone into your life, or maybe he's helping you realize, hey, this person, I think they do really care about me and I should kind of connect with them a little bit more. Maybe a friend or a family member, or maybe a pastor in your area, you know.
And if you're local, come to our church. We would love to meet you. So come here and check us out.
Yeah, we have a lot of
really special
people here too. Definitely check us out. And Colorado Springs is a great place to visit.
Yep.
It's incredibly beautiful. It's like a huge tourist destination. You can get
cheap
flights. We're like an hour from the Denver airport. There's the Colorado Springs airport. There's budget airlines that fly here. You can, come out sometime for a weekend and come to church and do some sightseeing. And if you're ever here, be sure to say hi. We're here all the time at all the services.
We're here all the time.
We do all the things.
We live here, basically.
So, yeah, if you come, just say, hey, I love your podcast. I came here because I discover you that way. You can leave a comment or call us or, shoot us a message. We'd love to hear from you, too. So,
yeah.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you all next time.